First NFL live action in 6 months. Woo. This Jets play here, Zach Wilson to Malik Taylor, 57 yards. You know who called it? Aaron Rodgers. Maybe they don't even need him to play. He could just assistant offensive coordinate. Rodgers. Also, Taurasi, 10,000 points in style. She scored 42. There was a petting zoo of goats at the arena. And USA Sweden, a pressure pride preview. But we start with news of the day from the Pac-12, or what is likely looking like the cremains of the Pac-12. Oregon, Washington, an invitation to join the Big Ten. It's reported a move will happen in 2024. The same year the Big Ten gets UCLA and USC. That will make the Big Ten a conference that has never cared about numbers, a bigger 18 if they want to go there. Also, Arizona's move to the Big 12 in the final steps. And reports now Utah and Arizona State could be the next to be courted. This is a full-on assault on the Pac-12 and conferences, a full-on assault on mathematics and numbers. For counting, I go to you, Woody Page. What just happened?
This is all about the Pac-6, the six-pack. I mean, we're watching this conference destroyed right in front of our very eyes. They go out and they finally get some sort of media agreement, and it's with the iPhone that all the games are going to be on iPhone 16 or something. But I think it's divided between whatever's left of the Pac-12 and the Big 12, because the Big 12 was assumed about a year ago to be in real trouble of disappearing itself. And now look at it, it's going to end up with 16 teams while the Pac-12 can't even figure out if it's got 4, 5, 6, or 7 teams left after all the stuff happens. So I think those two conferences have gone in totally different directions, one heading up to the top, the other heading to no longer being a Power 5 conference. It's just going to be a 5 conference.
Let me ask, gut reaction, Woody. Can the Pac conference survive this?
No, not at all. I think we're going to see the end of it, just like we saw the Southwest Conference years ago. Tim saw that, covered that. That no longer exists. It's going away completely, and all those schools are going to go to other conferences.
Tim Kalish, I'll bring you in here. Was this about the Big Ten getting bigger, the Big 12 acquiring, or is it the end of the pack?
You know, I got to start with the end of the pack and the things Woody said, and you know, they hurt you to think about if you like anything about the tradition of sports. And these Oregon and Washington moves by themselves, now Oregon won't play Oregon State, Washington won't play Washington State. We just saw that, or it's coming after this year with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. And there are only so many things you can do to fans of certain schools before they react to it. So, I mean, I hate that aspect of it. I do wonder if some of these great liberal institutions care at all about their carbon footprint, about these trips from Seattle to Maryland or Washington to Rutgers for volleyball and tennis. And you know, does anybody, anyone bothered by that at all? I don't think anyone thinks about it. They think about TV money, and that's when it comes down to just the Big Ten versus the SEC and the race to see who can get $60 million per team.
Hey, Don, they bring you in here.
Yeah, Tim pointed out, this is about the rights fees for broadcasting, I use that term loosely, for showing college football games. And therefore, this is a referendum on the Big Ten's decision by former Commissioner Kevin Warren to go retro, right? They leaned into network television for the rights to their games. Their games are going to be on CBS, NBC, and Fox. Very old school, very 1980s. And that was more appealing and more stable than what the PAC was doing and looking at, as Woody said, Apple TV Plus. So as we look at the future of entertainment, right, and how we will see entertainment, the Big Ten maybe is showing the way that yesterday is leading the way.
So they would
tomorrow.
Be a legend, you would say, or a leader going forward. I don't know. All right, so we've established that. Remember that? That was also a relic. Harry Lyles Jr., you have covered this extensively from the college football perspective. What just happened today?
This is the accumulation, the end of the road for all of the failures that we have seen over the years, not just from the NCAA, but from the previous Pac-12 commissioner, Larry Scott, and that god-awful TV deal that they had them on in the first place. It has been tough to watch half the games in that conference the last handful of years. And then you look at what George Kliavkov has done. We were wondering during Pac-12 media days a couple of weeks ago, hey, are you guys going to announce a TV deal? And it never came. So then you look at everything that's happening now, and you have all of these schools, and everybody's like, well, why is there this fire sale? Why are they running out? It's because there's no exit fee. There was never a TV deal in place. And so you've made it infinitely easier for all of these schools to leave. So you really left them with no option. And now if you're sitting at home and you're wondering, like, hey, why is all this happening? This is the accumulation of, again, greed and everything in which we've seen with college athletics. And I think you should be upset that we are losing a lot of tradition. And hopefully we get back there one day, but it's not looking good.
Your representation that it's greed, it's also growth, right? I mean, it's also looking forward. Gut check, though. I got to get you on the record here. Is this the end? Can the Pack survive this?
No, they cannot survive this. I think there are too many loopholes in terms of, even if they wanted to add teams, teams that they would want to add would have to pay exit fees on their current deals, and I just don't think
that's
going to happen.
Woody Page, I'll give you the last word here.
Yes, transfer portal has a whole new meaning now when teams are actually moving instead of the players themselves.
You athletic directors were so preoccupied with whether you could, you never stopped to think whether you should.
You should.
We've been horrible. Move on. Preseason game number one, Browns 21, Jets 16. Harry, you were one of two panelists yesterday. Excited to see Zach Wilson. I laughed. I still laugh. But he put it together with a 57-yarder right there. Credited Aaron Rodgers for telling Nathaniel Hackett to dial it up. Second half, Browns were in complete control. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, fifth-round pick from UCLA, a quarterback. Looking impressive. Tim Kalishaw, what do you take away from preseason game number one?
Just that the Zach Wilson book has a few more chapters left in it. It got off to a terrible start. Nobody wanted to read it in New York.
Chapters.
But now, I mean, you got to remember how high he was drafted and what he was thought of in college. I mean, this isn't a gimmick. He's not Johnny Manziel coming into the league. He can throw. He got off to a bad start with a bad team. So did Jim Plunkett. So did Troy Aikman, for that matter. It's happened to other quarterbacks.
All right, so Zach Wilson is Troy Aikman and Jim Plunkett and a couple of Super Bowls ahead of him.
A little above.
All right.
Troy Plunkett.
But that was your takeaway. Zach Wilson. Jay Adonde, you?
Zach Wilson still has some third down conversion issues to work out, I'd say, based on last night. But my takeaway was actually Aaron Rodgers talking, and that might have been the thing I hated the most about the NFL over the past year. But the Aaron Rodgers that we heard in the second half interview on NBC last night sounded very relaxed and content, and those are things that we haven't seen or heard from him the last few years in Green Bay. So the fact that we're not going to have Aaron Rodgers drama this year, the fact that he seems to be in a very good place mentally. And
all right, so now you're guaranteeing no Aaron Rodgers drama. Very bold move from you on August. Go ahead, Harry Lyles Jr.
I just wanted on the record with America, I did say on this program yesterday that it is important for the Jets to see improvements from Zach Wilson and if Aaron Rodgers is mentoring him. I am not a stan, though. But my biggest takeaway from this game is Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Like, we saw from him in UCLA, which, again, you didn't see him a whole lot in college because of that bad Pac-12 media deal, that he was an explosive player. He was an early Heisman candidate in his past two seasons in college football. And now he showed so much from you last night that you might not be able to bury him on the scout team. Like, he legitimately might now be the
backup. So you do take away something from last night's game, and that they have a riser and may have found something at quarterback in the fifth round. Woody Page, how about you?
Yeah, Harry's takeaways yesterday, a backup quarterback today, it's a practice squad quarterback. Oh, great takeaways. How about the 60-minute interview with Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers talked about he loves to be an assistant coach. He loves to be a mentor. How about when you were in Green Bay, you never even talked to Jordan Love. You didn't want any part of him, just like Brett Favre never wanted to do anything with Aaron Rodgers, and now suddenly he is giving plays to the offensive coordinator.
So could it possibly be an evolution of person? And would you not be appreciative of that, Woody Page?
Well, I think after you sit in the dark for like 8 days, you come out with a different feeling about helping.
Tim Kalish, I'll give you the last word. Woody's on a roll today.
My last word is that we need to move these games out of Canton and that high school stadium where the lights didn't work and the showers didn't work. And they've had turf problems before.
That's a bigger deal.
It's a great setting for Hall of Fame. It's a terrible setting.
It's a Hall of Fame game, though. I mean,
Pittsburgh.
You have it again. That's
100 miles away. Go to Cleveland.
They have rock and roll Hall of Fame concerts.
One more story here. It's USA Sweden, Sunday. 5 a.m. Eastern, 2 a.m. Pacific. A round of 16 game against the number 3 team in the world for the U.S. And Sweden has been a rival that's been up to it for decades versus the U.S. And it comes when this team is under consternation like they've never been. The poorest group stage showing in U.S. women's national team history. Harry, the debate of the weekend, can the U.S. turn it around? And here's your question. What will it take for this team to look like the number 1 team again and win Sunday?
I think it's the same thing that I've felt about this team the entire tournament, which is that they need to play within themselves. Andonovsky said that they need to play, stick with their philosophy, play their game model that they've got, which I know a lot of people don't want to hear. He said these things after the Portugal game, which they had 17 shots on goal. They had a 2.13 expectation goal. So there's the talent is there. The expectation is there. It's all showing up. They just have to finally put it together and piece it together. And I think the thing that is haunting this team is they're chasing these expectations that are absolutely not real. Those teams that we saw in 2015 and 2019 are outstanding. That is not the standard. That is the exception to the rule. If they play within themselves, I think they'll be okay.
Jay Donde.
But Harry, what is their game? What is their philosophy? Are they an attacking team? Are they a ball possession team? They have yet to show any coherent plan of attack so far. They've also yet to show demonstrably better skills, such as passing, footwork. Any of that does not look noticeably better than their opponents. Neither is the talent or the fitness level, which used to be a huge gap that's caught up. The one thing they have going for them, they only allowed one goal during the 3 group stage games. So if they can keep that defense and be stingy allowing goals, maybe they get a chance to advance.
Tim Kalishaw.
I don't think the talent is there. I think Harry's wrong about that. I think there should be a points deduction. I think what we're seeing with this team is that that they can't separate themselves athletically from these other teams. And we thought that going in, maybe. And now Sweden, because they won their first 2 games, they got to rest like 9 players in the last game. They made a bunch of lineup changes. They're a much healthier, more rested team, probably a better team. And I don't think the USA will win.
Well, there we go. We have a prediction here from our panelists in Plasma 2. Woody Page.
I agree with Tim. This is a team that hasn't shown us anything so far, and they're going to turn it around in a short period of time against Sweden, which is the number 3 team in the world and actually should be favored in this game, I think, because they've had more rest. They have better players. The conditioning that the U.S. has shown in previous World Cups is not favoring them against European teams who've caught up in regard to that. And they remind me of a bad NBA team going one-on-one. That's been what they've been doing in the first 3 games, and it's not working.
Not one player was named in the entire discussion there at the national panel. Not one.
Team game.
It will come down to the players. It will not come down to Rose Lavelle, who will be missing this game, and she's been the creative force of this team, even in limited minutes in this tournament. So I've got Kalishaw taking Sweden. I've got Woody Page taking Sweden. What happened to Jingo around the
USA.
Horn? Harry, who you got?
Have some faith. Have some faith. USA,
Adonde.
Let's go. Come on now.
I'll say USA today. One moment of glory for Megan Rapinoe. Shout
buy or sell next.
The fading glory.
USA today.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron.
Harry Lyles, 18, Jay Adande, 16, Woody Page, 15, Tim Kalishaw still with us for 5 minutes. Angels Mariners last night was a bonkers game. Another start where Ohtani had a problem with his hand. Finger cramps again. It's been blisters and broken now and finger cramps for a month. Could there be any reason why that's happening? Pulled from his start after four scoreless, but still batted. And of course, when he batted, he hit home run number 40 to give the Angels what looked to be a win, but nope. That wasn't all to this game. Ninth inning, Seattle came back. Cade Marlowe ordered salami. Mariners 5-3. Tim, what was that last night for the Angels and Ohtani and the Mariners?
You know, any little thing is going to scare you a bit, and maybe he shouldn't make 30 starts while hitting 60 home runs this year. Maybe that's a little too much to ask, so maybe push him back a little there. But obviously, whatever it is, he can still swing the bat. He can still do the damage. They don't have much room, though. They can't afford too many losses to Seattle.
Jay Adande.
It's relief. I'd much rather you have nails and finger cramping, which I never even heard of before, than rotator cuff injuries or elbow or anything like that.
Could it
so
be related?
This way he can at least continue on pace for what will be the greatest individual season in baseball history if he can finish this off.
Harry Lyles Jr.
Tony, I'm buying that the Angels need to be winning these games if they're actually going to finally make the postseason for the first time since 2014. And I'm also buying that perhaps Shohei Ohtani could somehow get better because of all the hand issues that he's had. His fastball was 2 miles per hour faster than his season average last night. And we are in the early sets of August. Like, that's kind of scary.
That's a lot of odd, perplexing numbers here, right? But Woody Page, I turn to you. Kinetically speaking, it's been fingers and hands. Is that anything? And of course, it was a loss in the end for the Angels.
I think Tim's on to something that maybe they should, if not shut him down as a pitcher, that they should at least minimize the number of starts that he makes, because he's on a pace right now for 58. You want to see him try and get to 63 before the season's out. And I think that is number one priority, number two priority. They can't let Seattle pass them in the wild card.
Oh, they did last night with that win, right?
Yeah.
So I got something for Ohtani and for the Angels to play up. Bananas. Maybe some bananas, right? We get the potassium up. No more finger cramps.
Yep.
Bananas, how my family started here, right? Pier 15 with those Big Mike bananas at Seaport. We'll move on. Diana Taurasi, 10,000 points. First in league history to hit that number. She needed 18 going in. They had congrats posters made in advance. No pressure for her. She had 42. Mercury ripping the dream. There were goats brought in for a petting zoo in the arena, which is something as well. J.A., what does 10,000 and how she got there last night do for the legend of Diana Taurasi?
Well, it puts a nice decoration, but it's really just an addition to the Taj Mahal, right? She was already the only player in WNBA history with 9,000 points. She's the only WNBA player with 8,000 points. So this doesn't change her status, really. It just gives you a nice round number to put
on
top.
Jr.
Yeah, we love nice round numbers. I think she was already firmly in the GOAT conversation, at least as far as it goes with WNBA players. This puts her over 2,500 points ahead of Tina Thompson at number two. And I think the other thing about this last night is that you always get these signature performances from the all-time greats where they show you, hey, I got one more for you. And she had one more for us
by going for 42. I believe there was a banned phrase in there. So it's Doug for Lyles. Woody Page.
She was under a lot of pressure last night. Her parents were there. They were going to have a celebration afterward, and they put plastic tarps in the locker room. They put the T-shirts out, brought the goats out. And guess what? Tim can appreciate this. She shot her age. She's 41, and she had 42 points. Nobody's done that in the NBA since Michael Jordan did. He had 40 points when he was over 40.
Tim Kalishaw.
I shoot my age in golf all the time, usually around the 14th hole. That's a different story. Diana Taurasi, usually when you're breaking these records, you're at the very end of your career and you're on your way down. She's age-wise got to be near the end, but to have a night like that, that's just a perfect way to go out there.
All right, Kalishaw shot his age. on the golf course by the 14th hole today, but not bad. That's pretty good. Woody Paige, Harry Lyles Jr., old school, new school. Showdown next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Woody Paige, Harry Lyles Jr., good luck in Showdown. Got some post-trade deadline starts to check in here. More significant start for a new team is my question. Max Scherzer had a sweaty first inning, but then a solid win for Texas yesterday. Michael Lorenzen, an eight-inning debut for Philly to get a win. And one more, it's a three-game start because he's a position player, but it's Jamer Candelario. Another hit in RBI for the surging Cubs. Candelario's 9 for 12 since being traded. Woody, who's had the best start with their new team?
Lorenzen, that's the best debut by Philly's pitcher in history. And he has, in his last four games, an ERA of 1.14. He's a great addition to a team wanting to be in the wild card.
Bringing the stats.
Has a great chance. Mm-hmm.
See,
Harry?
It's all about Max Scherzer. We're talking about an ace, and while he did have a rocky start, he finished strong, and he's pitching for a team that has the most runs in Major League Baseball, 627. That's 54 more than the Rays, who are right behind them in second place. It's got to be about Scherzer. They have World Series aspirations.
Have you ever started 9 for 12 over three games with the new team, Candelario? And the Cubs are making a run at the top of the division now. We'll split the point. We'll move on. The basketball tournament ended last night, but I want to gauge if you think this could be the future of dunk contests. This is how they do their dunk contest. It's called posterized. It's 1v1. It's your opponent in the dunk contest. You have to dunk over them. They have to try to block you. Some of you have had fatigue with the NBA's dunk contest over the years. Harry, could this be the future?
Tony, this isn't the posterized contest. This is the dunk contest. The beauty of the dunk contest is you put all of your different herbs and spices and make it amazing. It's not to
Harry,
see who can dunk the hardest.
No. Get it, Harry. On this show, we have FaceTime. In that contest, you have facial time. And I think you should be able to play defense and keep your opponent from scoring on a dunk.
Wow, just seeing it play out last night.
Swap
made
that.
Me think it could be. Harry, you went up. You had the lead all show. Woody blocked it. Let's go, Dro. 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Baseball and the New York Yankees need to reconsider their concussion protocol. Rizzo went on the injured list today because of what happened in May 28th in a first base collision there. And since that time, a guy was hitting 300 and Rizzo has been hitting 170. He's got fogginess in his head. I think there should have been more neurologists conveyed about what's been going on with him. He's not in good shape.
Thanks for that, Woody Paige. We're on a long break, off till Thursday, August 24th. That's a 456 and a half hour break.